Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 24, November 1st, 2011. This is Youth Month on Ham Nation. Good evening, everybody. Here we are again, good old Ham Nation, and we welcome all of you that want to know more about or already know about this great hobby we call ham radio. I'm Bob Heil, and I'm speaking to you from about 12 miles from the arch of downtown St. Louis. And you know, a very wonderful thing happened there this week. I didn't say much last week because who knew? Gordo, how are you out in Costa Mesa? Gordon West, WB60 and NOA. What are you doing?
Actually, we're in great shape, but I want to know how the East Coast is with a big freeze. So all you ones, twos, and threes, I just want you to know that those of us out in Six Land are dressed appropriately and are thinking about you getting through the big snow. Back to you,
that's
Bob.
That's really great, but one of the things you're thinking about is getting that off real quick because it's not going to be that cold there. Also, in the background, I want you to all understand that we are joined by the Rally Squirrel. And for any of you that do not know the history of the Rally Squirrel, might want to check out the few last games of the Cardinals. That was quite a deal. So we brought the Rally Squirrel here, Gordo, and
let's check him out.
That's right, and I brought my red PR22 microphone, and I appreciate one of our team. John's going to show you a picture here of the Heil Sound team. Judy loaned me her shirt.
And
that's why the Cardinals won. Jerry brought his big bat to one of the games, and that was used by Pujols to hit those three home runs. So we've had fun at Heil Sound this week or two or three with the Cardinals, and who would know what a history-making week. But anyway, let's get on with ham radio. It was a fascinating week in ham radio. So much went on. We had a big contest, and the conditions have been so good. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, oh, boy, conditions have really been good. And if you haven't paid attention to what's going on in the upper frequencies, you want to do that. It's just wonderful. And Gordon, I understand that you have some real special guests out there tonight. Julian's with you. He's of great help to you, great video guy in the background. But you also have Don in the ATV group, and we really appreciate them coming on and giving us more information about amateur television. So why don't you and Don take over here, and let's see what's going on in amateur television on the ham radio bands today.
Well, you've got it, Bob. And, you know, ATV is such an important draw for kids. And November is Kids Month here on Ham Nation. So we're hoping all of you will get your kids around and let them see all the excitement that fellow kids get into ham radio. And one of the big draws is ham radio amateur television. Now, we've had Don on before, but he promises to even unleash some additional kids and ham radio and some of the neat things. So Don, KE6BXT, take it away with Ham Radio ATV. Don?
Well, hi, Gordo. Remember last time I was on, it was way back in episode 12, and here it is, episode 24 already. And back then I was talking about the Digital Amateur Television CUSO party to celebrate 100 years of ham radio down in Australia. And we had a great time on Friday night and Saturday doing ATV mobile, ATV internet, and ATV digital and analog with Australia. So we've edited down over 3 hours of video down to about 3 minutes to show you the highlights of amateur television when we hooked up Australia with the United States, and we had several people checking in through Skype. Peter from Amateur Logic, who George might know, is the one who gets the credit for doing the fine editing to get it down to about a 3-minute video. So if we're ready to roll with tape video number one, let's look at the Amateur Television CUSO Party.
This afternoon and this evening, we will be linking our friends in Southern California into VK3RTV and also VK3RTV back to Southern California.
Good afternoon, everyone in Australia, and good evening to everyone in the US.
My name is George. My call sign is Alpha Charlie 6RB. AC6RB. I see everybody very nice. You're coming back in this moment.
Okay, thanks, George. Who else do we have?
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is K6DEPS. I'm out in Riverside. And just give a little view of the shack here.
Anyway, good evening, Australia. Name is Mark here. They call me Fish. Last name is Fisher. And checking in, W6NAF. And good morning. And this evening here, I just got done putting two new tires on my motorcycle.
Hi, this is Kilowatt 6 Lima, Delta Kilowatt, K6LBK. I am in Valencia, California.
This is Alan, Whiskey 6 Indoor Sierra Chango, in Westwoods, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles.
I'm Australian, but hi, the name here is Spencer, and my call is November 6 India Whiskey Yankee. I'm in Simi Valley, California.
W6HE,
V6 Eagle
Golf Echo.
This is Nick, VK3CH, operating portable out of Bundura Park, northeast of Melbourne.
And this is VK4XRL here in Brisbane, Australia, about...
Okay, great. Well, good evening, everybody on the ATN station. This is Canada, W6 Hotel, Hotel Canada.
Good day. Good day, Australia. It's good to be able to do this. That's kind of neat. I've been Baker's Carl, call sign is November Bravo 7 Charlie. And I was David Cook, Delta Oscar Golf, call sign Whiskey 7 Foxtrot. This is Victor from our barbecue last weekend, and the amateurs from ATN Southern California.
I think Don's proved to me he's mad. Trying to make it all work, but I already know Peter is.
But, population of about 90,000 people, and it's the home of VK3RBO, the television repeater in Bendigo, which is an analog repeater, 1250 megahertz in and 2.4 gigahertz output using some surplus NDS equipment.
All right, thanks Peter, thanks everybody, and good afternoon. This is VK3DQ. My name's John. See you later, everyone.
Fantastic to see all the signals. This is really working out really well.
And there's a field day amateur television set up that I had a rotator mounted on top of my van.
Come over this way a bit. Get the dog in. Good afternoon to everyone on the net.
Sorry. Here's Norm, November Oscar Romeo Mike, and I'm a retired engineer, and I live in the Bay Area, and I'm in a town called Norco, California.
That was the Amateur Television CUSO Party, and see that in post-production. The next thing I want to talk about is long-distance amateur television. With HF, you know, we can talk short path around the world or long path, which is going more than halfway around the world. But we can't get quite that far with amateur television. But
nope.
But the world record is from Hawaii to California. And for 20 minutes, Gordon West held that record. So we've got some some still pictures that show Paul's
Halib,
and he's he has about eight bands that he sends a beacon from Hawaii to the West Coast, and when you hear his beacon, then you know it's that. That's the band you should get on and get in contact with Hawaii. But if you know his phone number, you can call him up and say, "Hey, I'm hearing you on 70 centimeters. Can you drive up to the beacon site and put on some ATV?" So can we see some of those still pictures of Gordon West's screen when Gordon West held the record for 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And I'll just, John, let you go ahead and bring those up. The beacon is on Mauna Loa, and it transmits 24 hours a day on 2 meters, 222, 432, 1296. And here's an actual bit of lava rock. I guess Paley will allow me to keep it here in the shack. But it's quite a big deal to be able to get the CW and sometimes even single sideband and sometimes even FM. But it had never been done on amateur television. So about 10 years ago, we actually made the grade. And we may or may not have the photo come up, but it was a picture that we saw. There we go. Oh, that's great, John. And I'll let...
In the middle. Gordon's West.
That was my expression. That white look. Okay, there we go. Okay, that was my reception of the Hawaiian beacon when it was coming in 2,500 miles away. Now remember, this is a 6 megahertz wide signal, 2,500 miles coming via tropospheric ducting, not sporadic e-skip, and that signal stayed in for about 20 minutes, but then the band went sour on me, and Dave, you can tell them who picked it up. Don, tell them who picked it up from there. Go ahead.
If we can go back to that picture again, over on the right-hand side, we've got some color pictures, and that's where KC6 CCC picked it up, and he was just a few miles further away than Gordon. So over on the left-hand side, we have a picture of the beacon site. And just to the right of that is a picture of Paul and me. And we're holding up an issue of Amateur Television Quarterly. And why are we holding that up? Because there's an article in that issue that features the DX record and has pictures of Paul in it. The next picture is a picture of Paul and I in the shack, and then, there's the Amateur Television Quarterly, and the next picture is...
It's going to be a surprise.
Okay, it's a surprise. Okay. But over on the right-hand side, the picture on the right-hand
side...
There
we go.
Okay, there we are inside the shack, and his beacon radios are on the wall behind us.
And this is up at 8,200 feet. It is a television translator on the side of an active volcano in and above Hilo, Hawaii. And it takes them like 2.5 hours to drive up a lava road at the very end to get to the site. And wow, what a great view. But it looks out at the West Coast, and 2,500 miles away, we're able to get amateur television. And Don was up there, last month or so, giving that site
just
a big
week
look
ago.
To.
Actually, I don't think it's active. I don't think I'd want to be up there if it was active. But it's not dormant. It's it could go at any time, but there should be some rumblings and some signs to let us know that. Over on the right-hand side, there's a picture of me, and I'm doing something to the door. There's a tradition that anybody that's a ham that goes and visits the site can take a nail and basically carve our initials in the door as a tribute that we made it all the way up to the beacon site. And if you look at the call sign, just a couple call signs above where I'm carving my initials, you'll see that WB6NOA's call sign is right there. And there you go.
Well, very good. Well, Don, what else have we done with ATV that that involved kids? I know you've got a lot of audio and videos there. Tell maybe about some of our kids' adventures last month.
Well, let's talk about the Orange County Fair. We've got some pictures of what the Orange County Fair looked like. We started to see Gordon West news behind the news when he was announcing that the fair was coming and that we're going to be on 2.4 gigs this year rather than the 70 centimeters that we've been on before. And we had a really great picture into the repeater and coming back from the repeater. So if we can go to the pictures of the Orange County Fair, we can see the TV setup that we had. We had basically four tables at the Orange County Fair, and we had one of the tables that was just our stuff. This is actually the booth at the ARRL convention in San Diego. And we were set up there right next to the special event station. And the picture that's just to the right of that is a picture of where we were taking the output of the Santiago repeater and with a projector shining it on the roof. Now we're back to the Orange County Fair. The left two pictures basically show the setup of the equipment. You'll see Gordon West on the big screen, and he would call in to the Orange County Fair periodically throughout the day and check in if he wasn't able to actually come into the fairground. So it gave us a way of verifying that the people were set up and see what kids were coming by. And the kids, as they walk by the booth and they see a TV set and they see their picture on the TV set, they stop and look and start waving their hands at it. And then when the person on the TV starts talking back to them, it's really exciting for the kids because usually everybody's used to watching movies or watching TV, and it's a one-way conversation. But with amateur television, the person they're talking to, can respond by addressing them by name and what they're wearing and things like that to verify that they're actually seeing them come back. So that was really fun. We've been doing the Orange County Fair for how many years, Gordo?
I don't know, but a long time. Hey, what do you think, Don, that we put Bob onto ATV as our finale out here on the West Coast to see him at the Golden Arches? Can you do that?
Yeah, let me go ahead and I'll switch my video feed over to the output of the ATV repeater.
All right, stand by, Bob. Here you come.
Stand by, okay. Here we
and
go,
that's,
huh?
That's the ATN network, and you got all of the West Coast, Southern California watching, especially in that area.
Yeah. Okay, and, here we go. So,
ready.
All right. Bob, give a quick CQ.
What I need to see is Bob's picture coming back to me.
Okay. So, well, I hope that.
Bob's picture up in the studio rather than mine.
Okay.
There all we right, go. Bob, you're okay, on. Hello, everybody amateur television. In Southern California, and who knows where the way ham radio signals bounce around today. But we're glad to be here and look forward to seeing some of you guys on our own system here one of these days through links or who knows what. So thanks a lot, Don, for all this great information about the Amateur Television Network, and greetings to all that are watching and listening.
Good job, Bob. All right, now let's wait and see what we get a response. All right, ATN Southern California, give good old Bob a big hello. And they're awestruck, and that's a test pattern. And hopefully we'll get someone coming back. Again, that's a test pattern. And there we go. Okay.
Well, there's my station. But hopefully we can get somebody else from the ATN to come back. You didn't yell, you didn't say CQ, CQ.
All right. Give him a CQ, Bob.
Yeah. CQ, CQ, calling CQ from K9EID in Southern Illinois, live here on Ham Nation, the great radio of the sky. Let's see what's happening from the Twit studios, from the K9EID studios. Where does it go from here? It goes to Don, and Don takes it to you guys. So let's see what's happening. Anybody listening? This is K9EID.
Okay, we got it. And your audio made it there. Well, you got one response, Bob. That was
California, about 100 miles from where Don is receiving my signal. I'm broadcasting or transmitting rather on 440 megahertz, or actually 434 megahertz, and I'm being relayed by Old Mountain to Santiago Peak, and then Don is picking the signal up there, and it's all on the amateur.
Okay, well, Bob, congratulations. Don, that's a good one, and we'll do a wrap on that. But Dave, rocking chair, Dave was out there. But Don, thank you so much for another look at Amateur Television Network. And we'll probably be coming back to you again first of the year. So if I may, Don, I'll let you do the wraps and then turn it over to Bob. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, well, I'm back. Thanks again for having me on Ham Nation. And we'll get those other videos edited in there. And I'm going to be on the DStarNet after we finish taping this episode. So if people have questions, they can talk to me there. Plus, if people want to check into the Amateur Television Network Net tonight, starting at 7:30, they can call me on my Skype name of KE6BXT-M. KE6BXT-M. So now's the time to go and add a new contact in your Skype, and then come back at 7:30, and we'll patch you into the Amateur Television Network. So back to you, Bob.
All right, Don. Well, thanks so much for being with us. We always appreciate you being here and bringing us all the technology of amateur television. It's really super to have all that going at the same time, audio, video, and who knows. Gordo, that's great. I know you enjoy a lot of video there.
Oh, it is great. Don does a fabulous job. By the way, he indicated he's going to be on D-Star. We're also going to be on the WX4 ADX Reflector 14 Module C after the cast tonight. Thanks to Joe, WX4 ADX, for getting us on Reflector 14 Module C. And remember, D-Stars, November 11 through 13 is your D-Star QSO party. Now, speaking of QSO, Bob, we could hear that powerful station on the East Coast that, thanks to Infor Papa Yankee software mirrored remote capabilities, was able to broadcast. How did K3 Lima Romeo do?
Well, I understand from an email I got from him a while ago. This is not verified, but it's about 99% sure. They send all their results into CQ, and they have to go through, believe it or not, somewhere around 7,000 entries of the contest, Gordo, if you can believe that. And K3LR, the great contest station that had operators from the USA, Germany, Argentina, and using all ICOM radios and those magnificent antennas on I don't know how many towers. Are you ready for this, Gordo? He had 13,422 contacts with 820 multipliers, and he had 203 CQ zone multipliers, and this is all part of the contest that CQ does, and that means his point count was 37.3 million points. And if all of this holds, that nobody is going to come up and beat these guys, it will be the number one multi in the world, and history will be have been made because there's nobody else has ever done that.
No.
How do you like that for an afternoon?
I mean, it was KC1XX had like 26 million about 5 years ago. So, wow, 37.3 estimated. Woo! That certainly is a record. And again, we sure thank him for the great signal that Leo was able to put out and also that mirrored software.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. Congratulations to Tim and all the operators that had a great part to play at K3LR this weekend. We're going to have to go out there one of these years and would only mess up his score, Gordo, so I would guess.
Yeah, we could go and watch. Tie in N4 Papa Yankee software and make it happen. Okay, sounds great. Hey, we have a new guest that's actually been around ham radio a long time. I'll let you introduce him and we'll get the latest news, huh?
Yeah, Robert Sudak. Are you there, Robert? Are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Robert.
9EID WB6FDF. Good evening.
Wow. It's so nice to have you, and I know you've had some health problems, and Don was so nice to set in those few weeks to bring us the Newsline report, but you've been around Newsline and newsrooms for a long time, as I understand. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I originally began doing a newscast for a local LA repeater back in 1973, and at that time, the big stories were 15 kilohertz spacing on repeaters, and the new WARC initiatives and such.
I remember all that.
Repeater coordination, the fact the FCC was being asked to divide the child when you had disputes on the air. So we began with frequency coordination. It was really an exciting time.
Oh.
In 83, I joined Newsline. I'd been doing reports until I retired in 2007. Bill asked me to come back and join you folks and provide a weekly synopsis. So here I am again, and glad to be back in the saddle.
Well, we're sure glad to have you, and we're looking forward to having you each week and bring us the Newsline reports, and Bill Pasternak and all the crew there. I know there's a whole team that puts this together, and it's all volunteer. That's what's so amazing to me, that you guys spend so much time at bringing all this to us. So we, the amateur radio community, appreciate that, Robert, and hope that that you can join us here each week and bring us some nice news. And so if you got something for us this week that we might need to know about here that's happened on the amateur radio.
I do. I got a couple of things I'd like to mention, though. We find it difficult to maintain female voices in our weekly newscasts. So if there is anyone who is interested, male or female, in either reporting or eventually anchoring, just drop a note to reporter@arnewsline.org and see if we can get you hooked up, especially if you're female. Not enough voices on the air, and we need to do that.
That's so true, and I hope that some of the ladies listening can take advantage of this and get their voice on the airwaves, because they never know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions are listening to your newscast. So hopefully you'll be able to bring some different voices to Newsline and here on Ham Nation.
Indeed. So why don't we just take a look at the headlines for November 1st. This is from Newsline Report number 1785. Amateur radio operators again became communications first responders after a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck the Van region of eastern Turkey on October 23rd. Reports that Ursus, a city of 75,000, close to the Iranian border, was hardest hit, with a death toll at more than 500. Tens of thousands have been left homeless, with even more having lost all means of communications. Hams, associated with the Turkish National Amateur Radio Society, are responding to assist with communications in the quake-devastated area. They're asking hams to avoid use of the emergency traffic frequency 7.092 megahertz on 40 meters. Also note that upper sideband is being used to allow communications with government agencies. The FCC has again affirmed its rules for broadband over power lines, or access BPL, with only minor modifications that do little to protect the amateur radio service and other high-frequency users from severe to intolerable interference. According to the October 25th FCC order, the rules that it created to govern access BPL provide what it calls an appropriate balance between the dual objectives of providing for access BPL technology while protecting incumbent radio services against harmful interference. Those incumbent radio services primarily comprise amateur radio and other users of the high-frequency spectrum. Ham started arguing against access BPL when the commission first proposed its rules in 2004. And this just in from San Luis Obispo, just up north of Los Angeles. On Friday, November 4th, a record 150 electrical engineering freshman students from Cal Poly will take their amateur radio technician class exam in the largest amateur radio licensing event ever in San Luis Obispo County. Hosted by the Cal Poly Amateur Radio Club, this event will break its previous record of 62 new licensees set back on October 1st. Wow. Now, this session is likely the largest amateur radio license testing session ever held at the collegiate level. Special testing arrangements were made with the ARRL to accommodate this large group, and the potential radio operators will join more than 700,000 other hams in the U.S., providing volunteer and emergency communication support for everything from local bike rides and parades to global disaster relief, including the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And Gordon, they're heading for your doorstep to take that test.
That is great, Robert.
And that's those are the headlines. I'm Robert Sudock, WB6FDF. And if you want more details on these stories and more, please point your browsers to www.arnewsline.org.
All right. Welcome back, Robert. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. And I want to especially thank Don Wilbanks again, AE5DW, for sitting in. It was a rather long recovery, and I appreciate his time. Thank you so much.
That's great. Don. Hey, Robert, I forgot to ask you one question. You don't have a PR40 tattooed on your arm, do you?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Well, you know that Mr. Wilbanks is the only person I know of on the planet that has a huge tattoo on his arm of a PR40.
I'd like to know if he scored a free PR40 for that.
You know what? He did not. He bought
did not.
It.
I didn't think so.
A long time.
At Dayton. What can I tell you?
Gordon, I wanted to compliment you on your rendition of the Rally Squirrel. I think you were just perfectly for that.
Yeah, thank you. I'll thank John, our engineer, for that great shot.
Well, the Rally Squirrel, by the way, for all of you that are familiar with Heil Sound, our service manager is Donna. She's been with us for, I think it's 17 years. I forget the count, Annie. She's been around a long time. She knows so much about radios. And I always get these guys say, I can't solder these little connectors. Man, she can solder. She builds all the products. She services it. She built the Rally Squirrel. She is so talented. And wow. She built that little puppy. And that's really cool, huh? And the squirrel's been quite something.
Yeah. Perhaps she can substitute for George when he goes on vacation.
Exactly. Oh. She can solder, I can tell you that. There you go. That's great. Well, thanks so much, Robert. And we'll be seeing you next week here on Ham Nation with Newsline.
I'll be here.
All right. Gordo, you know, this starts the month of November. And what we're doing on Ham Nation this month, I'm very happy about this, is Youth Month. We're trying to bring more youth into amateur radio. And, you know, every day I hear more and more young people. And I think we're going to have a huge thing happen here. The next shows on Ham Nation about the youth in amateur radio. And yeah. We've got a great guest coming up here, a pair of them actually, and we'll get them on in just a minute. But you've got some youth standing by too in the next few weeks. Is that correct?
We do. Down at our local ham radio club, there's all sorts of kids, and they are active. They're not just with a license. They are on the air. So we'll be seeing them in just a few more weeks, and we can't wait to get them on the air, Bob.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing, is that they get on the air. I don't know if they're afraid or what the deal is, but boy, some of them just come flying on the air and have such a great time. And we're going to see a bunch of those here in the next coming weeks. So we'll invite everybody to tune in and watch what's going to happen here on Ham Nation this month of November. Let's see if everybody's ready to go. John, is Barry all online here? If so, let's bring W0EEE. This is the Amateur Radio Club from Missouri State University. And on your screen is Barry and Sterling. We'll let them introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about W0EEE. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to see you guys finally get on the air.
Well, we've been trying to make a space for you, so everything is cool. And tell us a little bit about what you got going with W0EEE. I remember when I first got on the air back in the 50s, that was quite a station, and it just kind of faded away. But you guys have cranked it back up, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing, how you did it, and what the future of W0EEE there at the university is.
Well, W0EEE is the amateur radio club here at Missouri University of Science Technology. It's just a collection of amateur radio operators here on campus. When we first started, there were 5 active members, and even before that, it was completely dead.
Yeah. We had a few of our advisors actually had to go to the student life offices to tell them that they wanted to keep this organization active so it wouldn't die out. And if it was to go another year without active members, it probably would have. But that's when we stepped in and said, let's bring it back.
And
all right. That's great.
One of the best forms of advertisement that we found was actually carrying around our handheld radios on our hips or our backpacks.
Yeah,
and have people asking, hey, what is that? And explaining what amateur radio is.
It's always fun to get the, you know, weird look. I have an antenna sticking out of my backpack, and someone says, is that a ham radio, or, you know, what is that? And then you can explain it. And a lot of times that's like the biggest, like, you know, hey, can I join? A lot of people really didn't know about the club here on campus until we started to get out and start doing activities and publish, you know, our events and, you know, different things like that.
So from that's- that... five members a year ago, we're up to over 20 active members.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true.
20 active. That's incredible.
Yeah. We haven't done as good as Cal Poly down there out there in California. But I think since we've been here, we've got 12 to 15 newly licensed hams. A couple of them just didn't even know what ham radio was, and they came up to us and said, can I join your organization? It looks like a lot of fun. And they found out it really is a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Do you have any kind of amateur radio classes or things like that too? Do you guys hold that in your club meetings?
Well, right now we don't have an organized class, but we do give out some. We have a few of the technician, general, and the amateur extra class manuals, and a couple of Gordo's books, and a few print-off PDF type question pool things that we give away. And whenever someone has a question, we just tell them to say, "Hey, come by or email me." We'll tell you how to measure the length of a dipole or what the band limits on a certain band is, and we're always happy to help. But sooner or later we'll once we get our own time on our hands, because we're balancing homework and the stresses of college, we'll start up a class and see how that goes.
That's wonderful. I guess Barry, that if you need any help, Leo Laporte is an expert at building 40-meter dipoles. Did you know that?
Yes, he is.
And he had a great teacher, a WB6NOA, and good old George. George had his soldering iron with him, and those guys taught him how to make a dipole, and he made one. So if you need any help, why, you call Leo, and he'll come and help you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get you out of here. This is going to be a little crazy, everybody that's watching. And if you're not watching, if you're listening on a podcast, you might want to go tune into this replay. I want you to take your camera and move it around and show everybody the amazing array of equipment that you guys have. This is just really something. God, old Drake's got a KLM. Look at that, 390 Collins receiver. And look at that KLM. Look at that thing. Gordo, how long has it been since
you
saw
works.
That?
Wow, that is terrific.
And they've got Drake, and they've got a bunch of Swans. This is wonderful. And what's your main radio that you guys use most of the time?
Right now, we're using an FT-897.
Uh-huh.
We used to have a really nice FT-1000 MP. It's currently sitting over here on the workbench. This is the other side of the ham shack, but you might be able
That's
to see it.
That's not a good sign.
Right there.
Not a good sign. When you have one sitting on the workbench, that means you're going to have to call George, and George is going to have to bring you out one of these things. Wouldn't you know it would have to be red? George, you can help these guys. I know you can, right? If they called on you.
Sure. We'll do something even if we burn it up.
That's what I did. That's the problem it had to begin with. I think I was running it through amplifier, and it just wasn't hooked up right. So some of the RF got back into where it shouldn't be, and messed up a few things. But so far, I've isolated what the problem is, and I got the parts on order. So hopefully, once the new parts get in, it'll be back in commission. But for now, we have a really nice setup. We got the 897 and an FT-847, and they're both all mode. All band rigs, and they do great for what we have. And up on the roof, we used to have a really nice HF beam, but unfortunately here in Missouri, it's victim to a lot of icy weather. So this Force 12 Yagi, it was a 40, 20, 10, and 15. It was a very nice antenna up on the roof. It fell down and came and shattered into pieces. So right now we're in between HF beams, but we have a nice dipole up there and a pretty cool array, a 6-meter Yagi and a 2-meter Yagi. and a, I think, 2 meter 440 and 1.2 gigahertz vertical.
That's wonderful.
Well, that is terrific. And by the way, fellas, you've been judged as the best video, says Julian, on the chat room. So congratulations.
Really? Oh, yeah.
You did it upright. Julian says the problem with the radio is you let the smoke out. And that'll, oh, yeah. that'll do it every
it's
time.
It's got to stay in.
I applaud you guys so much for getting in there and fixing these radios. See, that's what it's all about. Ham radio is about getting in and doing things, not just talking, but building and repairing and understanding how they work. And I applaud you for doing that. Absolutely. And we're going to keep a watch on you. And when you get that all fixed up and going, you let me know and we'll get you back on here and we'll put it on the air and we'll work here on 40 meters because you and I can work easily on 40 meters across half of Missouri here. But that's really great. I applaud you so much for everything you're doing. And I thought, too, that W0EEE was going to be gone. And just there you are. So thanks so much for doing that and coming on and talking to everybody. And let's stay in touch so we can keep up on the progress there. One last thing. Can people come to club meetings, outside people? I mean, do you have regular club meetings that are stated that we could come and visit you?
Yeah. In fact, we have our meetings every Tuesday evening at 4:30 right now. Every other week. And then the off weeks that we don't have a meeting, we have an open shack, which is just an open door. Anybody can come in and have fun on the radios or work on circuits. Like this circuit right here is a receiver for a...
Let's see that again. Hold that back up there. Don't go too far here too fast. Check this out.
Love it.
Yeah. Hey, George. Look at this, George. Oh, check it out.
George is drooling.
Yeah.
George.
I have to learn more about that spring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's our antenna for this receiver. It's a very non-complicated, very simple 2 meter receiver for a fox hunt that we are planning to do in the next 2 weeks. This fox hunt is going to have this receiver and this little beacon right here. And this beacon's already been put on perf board. And they both run on 9-volt batteries. And their range is, you know, probably like 10 feet or so. But we're going to have 50 of these little beacons hidden inside water bottles all across campus. And we're going to have a whole bunch of people run around with these receivers and antennas that look like this right here.
Made up of your, of course, your ruler. That's a great antenna. They really do work nice.
It's a great antenna. And we're going to do that. And we're going to try to get all the, you know, people who don't, you know, are in the IEEE, the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers, to see what it's like, see what ham radio is like and direction finding and all these little aspects about radio in general and see if we can draw some more members in that way.
That's wonderful. And for all the listeners that aren't aware, you mentioned the word fox hunt. Gordo, tell them about what a fox hunt is.
Hidden transmitter. You hide it, we find it.
Yep, and you're going to hide a bunch of those little, you had the little transmitter there, the little beacon, so to speak. You're going to hide them in water bottles around, and then that'll be up to guys with their handy talkies to go find them. That's really cool. And yeah, that's great. Well, you got to, when is that going to happen? When is that that all scheduled?
This weekend, we are going to have a build session. We got all the parts. $600 worth of parts, in fact, a bunch of PCB printed circuit boards and all the parts, and we're going to build them. That'll be this weekend. And then the actual fox hunt will be the weekend after on November 12th, sometime between 11 and 3, and hopefully it'll work out really well with what we have.
Well, yeah, you're going to as long as campus security knows ahead of time, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Little spring coming out of something on campus.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, Barry and Sterling, this has absolutely that's been great. Wonderful. And the chat room has enjoyed your presentation.
Oh,
and
yeah,
your,
that's great.
Your picture and everything is there. But, hey, they're engineers, Gordo. They should be able to do this. And, boy, can they. And guess what? They're not old characters like you and I. They have an entire life ahead of them that's going to be so much better because of amateur radio. That's the good part. So 7-3 to you, Sterling. 7-3 to you, Barry. And 7-3. Thanks for coming on Ham Nation. Now, you keep us all posted so we can find out what else you guys got up your sleeve at W0EEE.
We sure will. Hey, guys, thanks for having us. It's been wonderful, and we hope to be on sometime later and tell you guys about our amazing sweepstakes score that we're going to have. We're going to have Ward Silver N0AX come down this November and help us run the sweepstakes contest, which is a big single sideband phone contest on the HF bands. And so we're gonna try to hit the high score on the school club category.
Yeah. Well, you will with Ward. He knows how to lead the charge. All right. Well, thanks again, both of you, and 73, and we'll hear you on the air.
73. Thank you. 73.
Thanks so much, guys. This has really been great. I appreciate you coming on and talking about all this. My goodness. Does that take you back a little bit, Gordo, seeing these guys?
It does, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, my goodness. It's so rewarding to see that there are a lot of young people in this hobby. We just don't get to talk to enough of them, and we need to bring more and more on. And this month is Youth Month on Ham Nation. So we're going to bring you more of that, and we'll let you see what's happening on that side of it. Next week's going to be really cool. The DARA Club that sponsors the Dayton Amateur Radio Club, every year they take six or seven young operators down to Costa Rica and operate the contest. And they're going to come on here with some of these guys and gals and let you see what they did and talk about that. That's next week. We're really excited about that. So any of you have anything happening in your youth groups and so on with Ham Nation, you let Gordo, George, or I know, so we can get you on here and we'll make it happen. I had a couple of pictures that I wanted to show you guys. See if John can bring up W0RQ. This is a good friend of mine that I work on 75, and look at this gear he uses. This is all about 1959 through around 1967 gear. And John sounds so good. He's out in Kansas. He just built this home. He has no electricity. It's all done with solar panel, wind turbines, and batteries. And he runs his entire station from that. And John's quite a guy. And I wanted to show his station. I'm proud of his station because I hear it on 75 meters when we talk on 3875 a lot late night. And man, oh man, what a deal. I got one other I got to show you. I've been meaning to do this for a long time. We run out of time once in a while. And that's KO6NM. We call him No Money Mike. And it's Mike Durow, the guy that owns the company that designed and built that meter that plays up behind me that I have so many people ask me, what's that thing in the background? That is a very high-quality, calibrated VU meter that just about every radio station in the world use. And there he is right there, KO6NM with his monster kilowatt. No, it's only 250 watt. It is Collins AM transmitter in the background. And, of course, his PR30 that he uses. But Mike's quite a guy, and we really, really love Mike. He does so much for ham radio and the AM community. I don't even think he owns a single sideband radio. It's all AM. And he's the guy that restored the transmitter at W6TWT that's in that beautiful corner over there. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what's coming around the corner. You got anything that you need to add in here before the smoke starts flowing?
All right, just before the smoke, a D-Star QSO party, November 11, 12, and 13. We'll be on HF tonight, 7200-something or other, as well as 14... 282, says Julian. Joe WX4ADX will be on Reflector 14 Module C checking in. And again, thanks to N4 Papa Yankee, that's Carl, for that remote mirrored radio software that made Leo sound so good last week.
Yeah.
And yeah, 7204, says Julian. All right, back to you, Bob.
7204. You got it. And hey, don't forget, we want to talk to a little bit about the Manufacturers Days coming up. HRO's got one in Atlanta on December 3rd. And Mark always does a great job of putting that all together at his store. So you want to be sure to remember December the 3rd at HRO. That's always a great time down there. And they have special pricing and all kinds of people there from the different manufacturer. So HRO, are you going to drive over to HRO? George, you've been thinking about
my
that
little yellow convertible and drive over. No, I think I'll take an airplane, but I will be there about a day early and a day later, and look forward to seeing the Ham Nation folks at Ham Radio Outlet Atlanta. That's Mark's store.
Yeah, and maybe George can drive over and see you, because he's just a state or two away. What about that, George? You got something happening that day?
That's about 8 hours away, and I'll have to look at the calendar to see. But, yeah, that'd be a nice opportunity to meet up with Gordo over in the southeast.
Yeah. Well, we'll warn everybody, especially the security officers and the state police, that you two guys are on the loose in Atlanta, Georgia. So there you go. That would be cool. What's happening on your bench tonight, my friend?
Well, before I talk about that, I did want to mention I'm concerned for those two guys from the engineering school there. When they're running around on campus with those tape measure antennas, they might have a problem keeping the chicks off. So we may need security to follow them around. And tonight, we're going to build a little project here. I think you've got something similar to this, Bob, that you made yourself some years back. But this is a little kit here that's real easy to put together. Did you find yours, Bob?
Oh, I didn't pull it out of the drawer. Maybe I can do that while you're building yours.
Okay. Well, let's have a look at this. We hams are proud of our call signs, and if you've ever been to a ham fest, you've undoubtedly seen almost everyone walking around with one of these badges on. Well, today we're going to build a fun little project for those who change their call signs frequently, or for those who just like to have a little fun. Our kit this week is a Velleman NK157 LCD message board. Now, this came from Jamaco. It's part number 2130538. Let's take a look at what comes in the kit. This is the instruction manual. That could come in handy for something. This is a very simple little project. Most of the components are located on the LCD unit. We only have a few support parts to add to the main board. Let's take a look at the parts. We've got an LCD display board. There's a little bag that contains an assortment of diodes, capacitors, resistors, and some connectors, along with some hardware. There's a small battery box to hold two AAA cells, one integrated circuit, 5 10K ohm resistors, and a printed circuit board to mount our components on. So let's fire up the old soldering iron and get started building. According to our instructions, the first thing we want to mount are the 5 10K ohm resistors. So we'll locate their positions and put them on the board. Next, we'll mount the two diodes, being careful to observe polarity and get the bands on the diodes in the same direction as the bands drawn on the PC board. After the diodes, we install the capacitors. Now, two of these are electrolytic, so we also need to observe polarity on them. Now, we'll mount a socket for the integrated circuit. It's polarized, so you see there's a little notch there in the socket. There's also a little notch marked on the board here, and we want to install this socket in the same direction. We've got a 1K ohm pot, which we'll mount here in its position, and we have 4 push-button switches that we need to mount to control the unit with. We have all the parts mounted to the main PC board now.
So it's time to install the female connector on the LCD unit. That's the only soldering we'll do on the LCD unit, so let's move now and solder all the components on the main PC board. Next, we'll install the battery box so we have a way to power the unit. Now we'll solder the male connectors to the PC board that connect the two boards together. As I'm doing this, I notice that the solder just doesn't want to seem to stick to the board. On closer investigation, there's a good reason. There's no traces on this side of the board. So we'll have to flip the board over and solder to the top. We finished all the soldering. We've put the hardware on the board and screwed everything together. Now there's only one part left to be installed, and that's the integrated circuit. Now it is keyed too. There's a little notch here on the end of the chip, and we'll match that up with the notch that's down here on the integrated circuit socket. As we put in the last battery and flip the unit around, we've got success. The LCD message board is working. Now we'll use the buttons on the back of the board to do a little programming, and in a couple of minutes, we've learned how, and we've got our message. Now, I might just be the geekiest amateur of all at the next HamFest.
I love that. That's great. That is great, George.
Yeah, short and sweet. Gordo, you've got your big hair on.
It is actually because it's snowing in, you know, in different parts of the country. So we've got to be ready for the East Coast again. They may have another nor'easter.
I understand.
Just don't slide this way, George. We can't have that. By the way, I did find my little...
Man, it's tubes instead of diodes, huh? LEDs.
Yeah. It's even got a stop-and-go baby there on the bottom, too, if my thumb will get out of the way.
That is great.
Yeah, wear those at HamFest, and you can be the big geek. But there we go. That was all homebrew back about 1973 or 4. But fun stuff. That was a great project. Thank you for doing that. Look at that. You can say messages on yours. Yours is up to date. Look at that. Ham Nation.
Well, you know, that's for when I change my call signs every couple of years. I can update it easy enough.
We always enjoy what you do, George. The chat room loves what you're doing. And for all of you that are listening on podcast, you really need to look at some of the replays, and you'll catch George's fancy soldering work and all of his building. We really appreciate it, because that's what ham radio is all about, is building, soldering, and a little bit of smoke with it. And Gordo, I hope that it does not snow in Costa Mesa. We could be in big trouble if that happens.
And I hope it does not snow anymore on the East Coast until after I get back from Atlanta. So thanks, everyone, for watching Ham Nation tonight. The Jewel Man in 3, JF. We'll hear you on HF shortly. And Bob and George and all the gang, back to you. And thanks to Don, KE6BXT, for ATV. Bob?
Okay, well, I'm going to try to get on 40 meters tonight. I just want to remember the great Cardinals and actually all of baseball. But my little friend, the rally squirrel over there that Donna built, and thanks to Judy for loaning me her shirt. So we're going to get out of here tonight. And thanks to Lynn, John, and everybody back at the Twit Studios and all of our guests. We had a great time tonight. And next week, we'll be back with more of our Youth Month. Keep the cards and letters coming. Let us know what you like to see, what you like to hear. And hopefully we'll all make it on some of the nets afterwards. I hope to be on 40 meters myself here, and we'll talk soon. So in the meantime, keep all of those receivers and transmitters warm, and we'll catch you on the air somewhere. And be sure to pass the word about Ham Nation. Thanks a lot, everybody. 7-3 from K9EID.